Dad, November 16th, 2023, a lovely Thursday evening here, 1 week from Thanksgiving. We want to give thanks to you for listening to this week's
The pod. Dear listener, our
we'll
turkeys.
We'll have another one next week.
Of
our
audio.
Turkeys are basting. The turkeys of
no,
audio.
No, I was saying the listeners are our turkeys of audio.
Oh, gobble, fucking gobble. Anyway, guys, I want to bring you in on the conversation that was just happening. Todd was doing a terrible Biggie Smalls impersonation, I should say. Because he was doing the mannerisms as well. You call your crew, I call my crew. I know he's not going to do it.
Yeah, I'm just going to do it now. I did say you call your crew, I'll call my crew, we'll rendezvous.
Right. And honestly, I don't know what I said that made him say that. We were talking about something else before that. Anyway, we were talking about personal time.
I don't know if you ever listen to this podcast, but we tend to go on tangents occasionally.
We do. If you're watching this on video, I apologize. Currently eating my dinner and got a little something stuck in my tooth there. My teeth, got it out. Anyway.
Dental floss is part of Scott's dinner.
It is. And so Todd said, how big do you think Biggie Smalls actually was? What did he weigh? I said, I don't know. Let me throw a dart in the board. 340, I said. Todd looks it up online. He vacillated between 300 and 380. Point one, I was
well, according to the autopsy, he was 395, it said.
Okay. That wasn't the question. You were talking about Ed's prime, which is what I was answering. So I was dead on.
What does that mean? Like right before he died? Right before he was shot? Like 5 seconds before?
No, 3 weeks before.
Oh, okay. You think he gained 15 pounds in 3 weeks?
Mm-hmm. I grew.
There are other things here that say he weighed 300 pounds.
Again, time. You're a larger
guy. Are they just like, if you're over 300, it's whatever. It's just a crapshoot at that point.
It's probably between 3 and 4. No, you're a larger
guy. You're somewhere
guy.
Between 300 and 1,000 pounds.
Like, a week from right now, you might be 10 pounds heavier. Got that Thanksgiving meal in you?
I don't think so. I don't think that's 10 pounds is a lot of weight to gain, especially in a week.
First of all, you don't weigh yourself enough to know the difference.
True.
I weigh 60% what you do. And Todd's doing the math in his head to see if that's a reasonable thing to say.
That's reasonable.
It is. I weigh 60% what you weigh. And if I have a big shit and I weigh myself, I've lost 2.5 pounds from when I just weighed myself 5 minutes before the shit. So,
but did you
weigh 300?
Can you gain 10 pounds?
It's a lot harder for me. But if you're someone who eats 6 meals a day, as I imagine Biggie probably did, you know, hot Cheetos and Takis, A&W root beer, I'm guessing.
They didn't have hot Cheetos when he was alive.
They may not have. Whatever he was eating, bag of Lay's, whoever the Funyuns. Proud sponsors of tonight's shows are, Funyuns. I don't think Biggie was a Funyuns guy. You think Biggie would eat Funyuns? No.
Oh, wow. Maybe they did. Hot Cheetos came out in 1991. Damn.
See?
I didn't realize.
It just wasn't as popular as it is now. What do you think was Biggie's snack of choice? What's your snack of choice? And we'll work our way backwards.
I think his snack of choice was Funyuns. When did he die?
94.
Really?
I don't know.
He could.
You have his bio pulled up, apparently.
He died.
95. I'll say 95.
97.
Oh, shit. My bad.
What were you asking me? What do I think his snack of choice was?
Yeah.
I bet he liked Cool Ranch Doritos.
Mm.
And like,
That's a good call.
Jerky, like Slim Jims. Maybe not Slim Jims, but something like that.
I don't see Biggie Smalls eating a Slim Jim. I don't see him snapping into anything. You know what I'm saying?
Oh. There's a website called First We Feast.
First We Feast?
Yeah. Biggie Smalls talks used to order
yeah.
carafes of grape juice and steak at IHOP. I do love some fucking grape juice, though. Okay. Mm. Shout out to grape juice, the purple maven.
What was your favorite brand? If you don't say Welch's, you're excommunicated. Yeah, from the family.
Welch's. Are there other brands?
I assume Treetop threw out a grape juice.
We bought two at Costco because my daughter was like, I want some grape juice. And I was like, sweet, but we've never broken into it.
Mm. Frozen concentrate?
No, it's legit pre-mixed. That stuff separates, though. You get that,
with grape juice, it doesn't matter. The frozen concentrate still is good. I got to fucking go make some. I think I have one in the freezer, honestly. Bought some
He raps about filling his belly with a T-bone steak, cheese eggs, and Welch's grape before sex. Apparently he also had a craving for Haagen-Dazs. Stealing his roommate's supply and then filling the empty ice cream cartons back up with bread to cover his tracks.
Hang on. That
cover your tracks?
Also, how old is that information? He had a roommate? I don't think so.
I don't know. I mean...
Unless it was it Lil' Kim? Who was the rapper he had a relationship with?
Faith Evans.
Faith Evans.
They were married.
There you go.
They like I said, had a relationship. Says he used to go to Waffle House and have steak and eggs and all that.
And what is encompassed in all that, Dud? Break it down for us.
Steak and eggs.
And all that.
That's like four waffles. Definitely some hash browns, mm-hmm. all the way.
Oh, yeah.
Smothered, covered, diced, smothered, chopped, all that shit. And maybe a milkshake. I feel like he's a milkshake kind of guy.
Mm. And now he
brings all the boys
circle.
To the yard, is what I've heard. What's that?
No. I said, and now we've come full circle. That was the key to his waking. Milkshakes are terrible.
Pounding milkshakes.
Unless you're working out immediately after, if you put a milkshake in, it's 2,500 calories. Like, you got to slow down on that shit. But I bet you're right. I bet he was a milkshake guy.
Yeah, definitely.
Sitting there in the Waffle House corner booth holding court.
There's an animated GIF of him eating peanut butter Cap'n Crunch with milk. Mm. Not a milkshake, but... if they had a milkshake with that in it, I bet he would be down with it.
Fun fact, Todd. It's Thursday, so obviously I had a Pop-Tart for breakfast this morning. But yesterday morning, I had Cap'n Crunch for breakfast.
But did you have peanut butter Cap'n Crunch?
I don't like peanut butter
Cap'n Crunch.
I don't really like any peanut butter cereal.
Hold on a second.
Yeah.
Do you have Pop-Tarts every Thursday?
Every Thursday and Saturday.
You are a weird person.
Unless it's donut weekend, in which case I do not have a Pop-Tart on Saturday.
What the fuck is donut weekend?
We used to do donuts once a month on Saturday, but Jamie kind of fell out of favor.
You and your wife?
Yeah.
But Jamie did what? She put the kibosh on the donut weekend?
She just fell out of favor with having them that frequently. And she's not wrong. And so now it's just kind of an ad hoc thing.
Wait, once a month is frequently? No, honestly, we have donuts less frequently than that, but
okay, yes, once a month.
I'd say once a month is not that frequently. I mean, people have them. There was a time in my life where I would have them four times a week.
What? When was that?
I think, I worked at an architecture place that I could walk to, and there was a 7-Eleven along the way, so I'd just pop in. They had Krispy Kreme or some version of that. Grab two donuts because it was $2 or $3 and then just walk to work.
Oh my God. Like any good diabetic should. So the issue was, so our place of choice is called Lamar's, which I've talked about on this fine program before. It's about a mile and a half from the house. They have very good donuts. I get the manager's assortment, which is 6 regular donuts and 6 specialty donuts. By the way, I will say
mention that as well.
I know I mentioned that. I mentioned that I've mentioned it. The price of donuts is outrageous nowadays. I don't know when the last time you got them was, but at least at Lamar's.
This is at a boutique shop or just an independent donut broker?
No, it's an independent donut broker. So,
but I mean, it's not like a gourmet kind of place.
I don't really know what a gourmet donut place is, but no, I don't think so.
Well, like, I think you've been to like Blue Star and stuff in Portland where they have like artisanal flavors and every one donut is like $4 or $5.
Oh, no, it's not that hogwash. No, no, not that at all. And I've been to Voodoo both in Portland and here in Denver.
Same thing. Voodoo's overrated. Less fancy than that place.
Very much not fancy at all. You're right. In any event, so the issue is.
So what's the price of donuts at Lamar's?
I think a manager's assortment dozen is like $26, $27.
Ooh, that is kind of steep. I feel like a dozen at Krispy Kreme is $20 maybe.
No. Oh God, no. Shouldn't be.
You think
I've been to Krispy Kreme
less or more?
Here I think a dozen regular donuts is less. I'm going to say $10.99.
No, it's not that cheap.
But again, I have not been there in a long time. It sounds inflation, like you just said you have the app. Yeah, inflation, baby, is why Lamar's is now $26.
Well, I got the app because you were I wanted to order ahead of time. Because the one near us is like 15 minutes away.
I wanted
to go pick them up.
We went to the drive-thru once.
So, let's see. Drum roll. A dozen donuts.
$15. A dozen regular glazed. 15. That's fun. It's insane. Donuts, specifically Krispy Kreme regular glazed donuts, should not be a dollar. They should be less than a dollar. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I agree. A classic assorted dozen is $17.
By the way.
Flavors of Fall Special Dozen, which looks disgusting to me. $19. That includes 2 cinnamon latte lover, 2 caramel pecan brownies, 2 classic blackberry crisp filled, 3 spiced apple filled. That sounds like a fucking heart attack right there. And 3 chocolate iced with autumn sprinkle donuts.
Okay. I want to get back to why Jamie stopped wanting to do 2 donuts, but since we're talking specifically Krispy Kreme, before I get back to Lamar's, I will say, and I'll give him a shout out, there's a YouTube channel called Beard Meets Food. Have you heard of it?
I have not.
I thought we talked about it on the show, but maybe I was talking to Jamie about it. So it's a guy who basically, he's from the UK.
He has a beard.
He has a giant beard. You can go look it up. I know you're going to. I can't see you again, by the way, so I don't know what you're doing. But there's a guy who...
Talking to you.
No, but you're always multitasking 100% of the time while we're recording this show. But he comes to the States.
Oh, you know who he looks like? He looks like that drummer that plays the super fast beats or whatever.
Oh, El Estapan Cigarano.
One-handed.
By the way, do you know he's now the drummer for Slipknot? They hired him like just last week.
Congratulations.
Which is a pretty big gig for him. He's got like, he's up to like 3.5 million followers on something, TikTok, Instagram. Anyway, yeah, he's the sickest. But, and he does kind of look like him, but then when you hear him talk, he's from the UK.
He's British.
But anyway, one that I watched a couple weeks ago is called the Krispy Kreme Hero Bundle Challenge. And it's 13,000 calories. It's two dozen regular donuts. 2 dozen specialty donuts, which is kind of what you were describing, like the fall mix or whatever. And then it's 4 dozen like donut bites and then a dozen mini donuts. It's fucking insane.
In one sitting.
Now, I think, and I've watched a lot of his videos.
My pump would not allow me to take enough insulin to eat that.
Of course not. I think he actually didn't finish this one. He ate 95% of it.
But that's 4 dozen donuts plus mini donuts and donut holes or something?
4 dozen regular donuts, 1 dozen small donuts, I guess. I've never gotten it before, but like kid size.
Habsies.
Sure. And then 4 another 4 dozen of the bites. Like they're, it's almost like the donut hole or the whatever you call it, munchkins. You get from Dunkin'. Yeah.
Donut holes. Snippets. Yeah.
13,000 calories.
I've never seen those at Dunkin' Donuts. For the whole thing is 13,000 calories? 13,000
calories? That's what it says.
All those things?
Yes. You said you've never seen that at Krispy Kreme is what you meant, right? You've seen munchkins at Dunkin'.
Yes, sorry. At okay. Krispy Kreme, I've never seen.
I've never seen them either.
I've never seen anything other than standard. I mean, they have like jelly specialty. Or filled donuts.
Yeah, yeah.
And standard ring donuts, but I've not seen donut yeah, holes never, or mini donuts.
I'd never
donuts.
Seen the kid size. Yeah, I'd never seen any of that. Maybe it's just a UK thing. This was he did this at his when he was at home, but it was tough to watch. Like, I enjoy watching his videos.
God,
he seems like a really genuine guy, nice guy. He's always very nice with the staff of the place that he's doing the challenges, and he wins almost all of them. Like I said, but this one he brought it home and. Because you can just, you know, if you eat, clearly you do. If you eat too many donuts, you get like that residue in your mouth. That was all I was thinking. Is his entire body must be coated in this sucrose residue.
So looking at the KrispyKreme.com, they do have glazed donut holes and mini original glazed donuts.
There you go.
So I guess they have them. I've just never noticed them.
Yeah.
There's no side-by-side comparison to see how big the minis are, though.
Well, again.
I mean, they have a photo of them next to a donut, but I don't know if that's a great way to look for scale.
That's not a great
Sorry, one. It's not next to in the same photo. It's just like a photo of a donut, and then they have a pair of mini glazed and mini chocolate iced glazed. Oh, I like those.
Gotcha.
I mean, I've not had the mini, but I do like that.
I feel like this weekend's going to be a donut weekend after this conversation. I'm just saying.
Could be.
It's been a while. Anyway.
Well, we went to Krispy Kreme a few weeks ago, probably 2 or 3 weeks ago. But before that, I don't think I'd have had donuts in 2 or 3 months.
And it's probably been that long for me. Meaning a standard pickup.
I think I told you, like, Walmart. Since we moved from Portland, the donuts here just aren't as good. So I'm less interested in getting donuts.
Well, and on every corner is a Dunkin'. That's the problem.
Yeah, right? They're all fucking Dunkin' Donuts, which are fine. I mean, they're technically a donut, but it's nothing, like, get super jazzed about.
It serves a purpose.
Yeah, but if you're eating donuts, you want it to be an enjoyable experience, not just something to eat.
Mm-hmm. So to
it's
finish
like
my
Subway
story.
Versus, I don't know, some gourmet sandwich place. One, they're both technically sandwiches, but one is just kind of like stuff.
Like Subway versus, there's a Philly cheesesteak place here called Pat's. It's fucking delicious. Not even, like the bread is just.
Pants.
The bread is it's a different zip code how good it is compared to Subway bread, and that makes a big difference to those hero style sandwiches. Anyway, to put a bow on this fucking story, so the reason that I think Jamie walked away
or
wanted to stop doing the donut thing is because I always get the manager special, which is a full dozen. Because buying them individually or buying a half dozen is fucking stupid. Like, why would you do that? And so, invariably,
I mean, a half dozen would probably serve the two of you and your daughter fairly well.
Of course it would. That's not the point, though. I want a higher mix, right? So I get the full dozen.
Oh, you want more variety.
I want the variety. So I get the full dozen, always on a Saturday.
Sorry. Go ahead.
Just let me fucking finish, and then you can ask questions. I'm going to answer them all, I bet. But then the problem is, I eat two and a half because we get like some of the non-regular donuts, the manager special ones, are like cinnamon rolls, which are as big as my face, or this thing called Long John, which is like a I don't know 8-inch bar.
Yeah, I know what a Long John is.
You can cut They're in called, half.
The other name for Long John is
Skippy
maple bar or a chocolate bar. But yeah.
Sure. They have them. I normally just get the regular glazed one, but they have them with maple and they have them with chocolate. So oh, the point have, is,
I've not had it glazed Long John.
Yeah, it's good. But the point is, you're getting 12 donuts, but like we'll split the cinnamon roll, for example. Or they have fritters. I'll split a fritter. So it's really ultimately like 18 or 20 servings of donuts. Jesus Christ. And I can only eat three. I could push four, but that's not wise. So I
That's an eating challenge for you.
That's an eating challenge for me. That's my beard meets food. So I will eat three. Jamie will eat two or three on Saturday. And now we have 14 servings left. On Sunday, we'll do the same thing. And now we have, you know, now we have eight servings left. And then she's done with it. So now on Monday, I'm like,
yeah, well, that's
forcing
third day,
it down.
They're getting kind of gross, kind of slimy.
That's the thing. And so what we do to counteract that is we normally get three or four old-fashioned or sour cream donuts because they've locked in the flavor and the freshness. But even still, like by Tuesday morning, I'm like,
I don't have locked in the freshness, but yes, I get your point.
The coating locks in the freshness. As opposed to like a cinnamon roll. If you don't eat that cinnamon roll first day, if you do, it's like a fucking pillow. You can sleep on it. But if you don't, it loses
crunchy.
A lot of its steam.
You could refrigerate them or something and maybe pop them in the microwave for 5 to 10 seconds.
We do that.
Soften them up.
I will do a microwave run. But in any event, a microwave run.
Take the donuts on a little trip to the microwave.
Yes.
Before you consume them.
In any event, so I think after doing that once a month for like, I don't know, probably over a year, we did it pretty consistently. We may have missed a month here or there. She's just like, I'm sick of this. I don't want to hate donuts. Yeah, basically. Yeah, essentially, that's what it was. That's what it was. And so she's like, we got to slow down. And so that's why we kind of went away from it. And then it's hard to get back into the swing of things. It's just kind of you really have to feel it.
Is it hard to get back into it?
Well, here's the other issue.
It's not a requirement.
Here's the other issue, though. Lamar's is in a high traffic area.
Sure.
If you're not there by 8:15, they're already running out of shit. So we have to literally talk about it the night before and say, hey, what do you think? You know, like, is this the weekend we're getting donuts?
So stupid.
And even still, if I wake up at 7 o'clock or whatever, and I'm like, I'm just not feeling it. You don't want to not be feeling it. You want to be in the mood for donuts.
You're gonna be feeling it,
especially now if now it's fucking $30 with tax. So it's just change, man.
I don't understand why you have to get so many donuts.
Because I want to get the manager's assortment.
I get that, but.
The variety.
Can you just pick out six different ones that you like?
No, I can't.
Or eight, even?
That's stupid. If you're getting eight, it's going to cost me $22 to get eight, probably. I might as well spend the extra $6 or $7 to get the 12. Let's be honest. Weird. Anyway, so that's the donut saga.
In the main.
Oh, and by the way, I probably told this story before. Have I on the podcast told the story of when my roommates and I, my senior in Clemson,
you shit your pants.
Got Sorry. Racks of what? Donuts? I'm not repeating it, so if you didn't hear it, we're moving on.
I don't think so.
Oh, okay.
Racks of donuts from where?
So.
Unless Racks of Donuts
this.
Is a place.
No. It's actually a strip club. You may remember this. There was a
good name.
I don't know how donuts makes racks of no nuts makes more sense. But anyway, racks and no nuts. Racks and no nuts. That's a great circle thing. Anyway, you may remember this. Every year, I think on Earth Day, which is early April, that seems right to me, they would have like a service day on campus at Clemson where you would come to Bowman Field and they'd disperse you across campus and you'd, you know, I don't know, de-weed the gardens, you'd plant a tree, like you do all sorts of shit all over campus. I never really took part in it because I didn't care. But it was kind of a big deal. It was well publicized. Do you recall this at all?
No.
You never took part in it?
No, definitely never took part. I don't remember it existing, to be honest with you.
Okay. Well, in order to encourage participation, If you showed up during the morning shift, they had free donuts. You show up and say, hey, I'm ready to work. I got a couple hours, whatever. Hey, have a donut, have some coffee, whatever. So my senior year on Earth Day, everything was set up on Bowman Field, right there in the corner of Bowman Field near Tillman Hall. Unfortunately, on this day, it was fucking pouring. Like cats and dogs raining. And so by like 10:30, they just kind of abandoned the station, the little tent area where people were coming to sign up and help out, because no one was coming because it was pouring rain. And so one of my roommates at the time went by. He had a class and he happened to walk by there. And he came back. This is when we lived in Lightsea Bridge Apartments. He came back to the apartment. He was like, hey, guys, there's an entire rack. You know those big metal racks that they put like trays in of food?
Yeah, like rolling rack whatever shelving thing like in a restaurant.
5-6 feet tall. Yeah, it has shelves. You can put all sorts of stuff in there. Dirty glasses, clean glasses, food of any sort.
700 donuts.
700 donuts. There's racks of donuts out on Bowman Field. Just sitting there, covered with plastic.
Just waiting for you to take them.
I said, saddle up, boys. Let's do this. And so one of my friends and I and one other friend drove over there, ran out, each grabbed a rack, jumped back into the back seat of the car.
Wait, grabbed a rack? Jesus fucking Christ.
We each grabbed a rack. Ran back, jumped in the car, and took off. I don't remember the exact numbers. I feel like there were 50 donuts per rack. And so we now had 100 glazed donuts.
50 donuts per rack?
They were big.
Like a lot.
They were big donuts. I mean, like big fluffy, you know, the kind of free donuts they would have every morning at Harcum or Shaletta or whatever. The dining halls, for those of you unfamiliar.
Yes.
And so we jumped in. And took off back to our apartment. And now we walked in and we had these two giant racks of donuts. And it's like, what the fuck are we going to do with these?
Wait,
we can't eat them all.
Did you take the rack or did you remove
them
from
the
rack?
Yeah, we took the rack. No, what are we going to put them in? The back seat of someone's car? No, we had the
wait,
racks.
So I'm thinking of a rack with boxes on a rack. You're not talking about that. You're saying...
No, the donuts were placed directly on the rack and then they had... plastic covering them.
All right. So did you return the racks after you consumed the donuts?
To whom? By the time we moved them off of the rack, they cleaned up all the stuff on Bowman Field. I don't know what we do with the racks.
Yeah, I guess we're out of racks now. No donuts for the rest of...
I think it was two racks. It was clearly from Harcum. They had thousands of those things. They didn't need the racks back.
As shit weren't getting them for you.
So for the first couple days, we just kind of had them sitting in the kitchen and people would come by and, you know, literally anyone that came by, want a donut? Please take a donut, take a dozen. But then eventually it's like, if we don't put these somewhere, they're going to go bad. You know, they're going to spoil or whatever. So this is all stemming from when you said put them in the fridge. So we somehow... I don't even remember what we put them in, but we shoved them all. It was like 65, 70 donuts at that point still remaining. We shoved them all in the freezer. And for like 2 weeks, I think it was just we put them in like large gallon plastic bags, put like 6 or 8 in there and just multiple plastic bags. And for several weeks after that, like that was our dessert. We pull out a donut, put it in the microwave for 30 seconds. And, you know, eat it like
a gentleman
with a
knife and
fork. I
bet those were disgusting.
By the, obviously with each passing day, the quality lowered. But just that memory of diving into the backseat of a car with a rack of donuts and then taking off like we'd stolen the crown jewels or something is one of those memories from college that when I was in my early and mid 20s and I was thinking like, maybe I should go back and go to grad school. That was the sort of thing that was pulling me back. I can do that sort of shit again. Not the learning or the advanced degree. Yeah. Fuck that. Don't care. I want to steal donuts.
Clearly.
Whenever possible and wherever.
I want to steal some donuts. I will say, in my experience of going to grad school, it's not the same as going to college. Like,
I'm sure it isn't. Why do you think it is? What's the biggest difference? You tell me.
Well, I would say it's less likely you'll be living in a dorm. You know, like when you're going to college, you're most likely it's the first time you've lived on your own. Mm-hmm. Everybody else is in the same situation. You're all like, it's fucking insane. I'm 18 and I can do whatever I want. Yeah, I can have donuts in the middle of the day if they have them somewhere. I mean, I obviously not a drinker, but other people, you can go ape shit at night and get, or in the middle of the day, whatever. I'm sure now kids are fucking stoned off their ass all day. Not that they weren't when we were in college, but whatever.
More prevalent.
But yeah, in grad school, people are like, I'm here to get a degree. It's much more likely that you're living off campus in an apartment. You still have like
camaraderie,
some community. Have social experience with the people you're in school with, but it's not the sort of forced, like, again, right out of high school, like, oh man, we're like really on our own sort of thing that you have when you're in college. And I know that that's only the beginning of college, but even as you go through like your whole college journey, there's still the, like, I don't know.
Like, again, the donut stealing was my senior year, so
yeah.
Was I more mature?
You don't necessarily
at
21? Mature going through was 4 I more years of an accredited university.
Than 18, I was more mature. Was I still immature because I was only 21? Yes, I was.
Yeah. So, but I would say in grad school, you have people that, like me, that went straight from college to grad school, but a lot of people take 2 to 20 years off in between, so you have a variety of ages of people. It's not the uniformity that it is for most college freshmen. I guess now people do more skip years and shit like that, but you know, gap year, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I do.
They're mostly teens and young 20s. Your physical prime.
How do you mean that?
I'm just saying that's like probably the best you're ever going to look, and all the other people, same thing. It's a lot of hormones pumping around there too.
Your college experience is different from mine, but I understand.
You know what I mean? Like,
no, I trust
a bunch of kids with freedom and alcohol, just like going at each other. No, again, not my experience. But
shut up. Listen for a second. I certainly, my first year and every year thereafter, those first couple weeks, you can't go by Bowman Field or what is now, you know, what was then behind Shaletta or the shoeboxes. There was a big field back there without happening to notice that there are dozens of young, attractive women out there sunbathing in late August. Of course. Like, yeah, we were human beings. I'm not saying that wasn't very obvious, but it was just weird the way you were phrasing that. You know, hormones, erect cocks, who knows what's going on over there.
Okay. Not what I was saying. Don't put those words in my mouth. I'm just saying, like,
you're the one that said in your mouth.
There's an immaturity and a different energy than I think for most people in grad school.
Well, and on along those same lines, people in grad school, yourself included, towards the end of your grad school experience, are more likely to actually be in relationships, like to be married,
and/or
to be
married,
engaged. Some even have kids if they've, again, done those skip years that you were talking about. Fair point. Anyway. All right. Todd?
Yes.
The time has arrived.
Boop, 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 boop.
2023. Stereogum. Best new bands of the year. Finally came out.
Yeah, fucking took their sweet ass time to get this.
November 13th. Unbelievable. But it's out there. We do this every year.
So we talked about this in the pre-show.
Yes.
Off air, but Stereo Gum, thank you for finally getting your shit together and getting it out. Why the fuck can't you put the song in the webpage so I don't have to listen to the goddamn playlist?
So annoying.
Because some of us don't have a subscription to Spotify, Apple Music, or Tidal. Some of us are middle-aged losers who have Amazon Music because it's $2 cheaper than fucking Spotify. So if you want to do this playlist, put it on the shit that I have too.
I didn't know that part. I thought you had... So you're saying you have to listen to ads on Spotify?
Yeah. I have to listen to ads.
That sucks for you.
And you can only do it on a computer. You can't listen to the playlist on your phone if you don't have the paid version of Spotify.
As a Spotify premium member, I listen sans commercials on my phone.
Yeah, good for you. Thanks. I listen on my fucking computer. Well, I had to take notes anyway, so whatever. But
true. I took notes on my phone and then emailed them to myself. Welcome to the 21st century, Scott. Anyway.
Yeah, la-ti-da.
For those of you who don't know, every year Stereo Gum releases a list of the 40 bands, the 40 new hot bands of the year.
It says in here, new is a subjective term too. Like some of them have been around for a while, but
fair. But they're breaking this year, or have broken this year.
Or yeah, they have. They feel like they're.
It's their opinion.
They're hitting their early apex. They're hitting their college.
There you go. Their college radio. Yeah. They're hitting that hard dick phase of their life.
That's in any not event, what I said.
That is what you said. In any event.
It's definitely not what I said.
It's 100% what you said. So the way this works is we, Todd and I, listen to these songs. And as we discuss them, you will hear them in the background. I go through copious amounts of editing time in order to make this as entertaining and enjoyable.
You can just rip them off a Spotify playlist.
I have to. I used to do it from the YouTube videos. But anyway, so we're going to do 10 today. There's 40, so I guess over the next 3 episodes, maybe not concurrently. Ty and I have talked about breaking this up with a rewatchables episode, which I'm very...
Oh, did we? I didn't realize that.
We did. We don't have to, but it's just an option. Yeah. Or we could do back-to-back-to-back-to-back episodes of Stereo Gum Top 40, and then do a rewatchables to cap it off, and then do a Christmas special. Like, that's kind of what it's looking like from a timing perspective. We'll see what happens. In any event, so we're going to start. Historically, I start... But A, because I have not yet completely finished my dinner. And B, just to mix it up, I'm going to let Todd start with his commentary. And again, for those of you that have never heard us do this episode, as soon as we start talking about the band...
Are we not going back and forth? We're both commenting on each song, right?
Yes, yes. But I'm just saying you will start. You start with your thoughts and we'll go from there. So as soon as Todd introduces the first band and starts talking about it, you will hear that band play in the background. And again... You can go to Spotify or you can go to stereogum.com, I assume, to look up more details on these bands.
It's if you're listening to this podcast within the first week of it coming out, it should be in the front page somewhere.
Yeah, of Stereo.
The first band is called, they're just the at sign.
The at symbol, yep.
I mean, the at symbol. And I don't know what they call themselves, at maybe. The song that they've chosen... that Stereo Gum has chosen is called Where'd You Put Me? My comments were folky, sweet, nothing of a song. It felt like it was about 10 seconds long. I honestly did not realize the song was over at first because it's actually 1 minute and 12 seconds, but it feels shorter than that because you're sort of being the first song probably didn't help it either. You're kind of getting your bearings. You're like, okay, especially if you're me, you're listening to Spotify on a computer without a subscription, so you may have listened to a commercial before it started. It was fine, but it was so short, I didn't really have long enough to get my bearings to give a full like reaction to it, to be honest.
Super short. There were barely lyrics or vocals that I recall.
Yeah, it's sort of, it wasn't even like a, there's definitely no verse, chorus, verse. It's like verse, chorus, end. Song is over.
Yeah. Well, it's 72 seconds. Even,
or whatever. Like, maybe it was the bridge. I don't know, because there's no repeating of anything, yeah, to my knowledge.
So I put, I was pretty proud of this, my last comment. I said it was crappy folk with what I believed was mandolin, but then I looked at my phone and Spotify kind of plays the video in the background just on a 5-second loop. And maybe it wasn't. I think it was maybe a 12-string guitar. Couldn't really tell, but very high-pitched kind of guitar, not even strumming. I don't know. And I put very lo-fi. I said it reminds me of AM radio and not the good kind. It's like a bumper from like an NPR story to the next one. It was complete. To your point, if this was not, if the at symbol or whatever this band's called was not the first song, the way I listened to these songs, if it was just in the middle and I had to listen to commercials, I would have just thought it was a commercial for something. Like there was just video.
Yeah, it kind of feels like a bumper between things.
Yeah.
I looked at their Bandcamp because I was like, I didn't mind the music that much. I'm listening to it now in my headphones as we're talking, but yeah, it has a folky feel, kind of very acoustic folk sound.
Yeah.
Some, I mean, the vocals are nice. I don't know. But it's so short. Not all their songs are that short. I looked at their Bandcamp. They don't all sound this like folky either. They're a little
Yeah, puppier. It's just, again, to be clear, it wasn't that it was offensive. Certainly in the past, on the doing these Stereogum reviews, some of the songs have been offensive. Not like bad language, but just so terrible that
I mean, there's definitely one that's offensive with bad language.
Well, we'll get to that one soon. But it was just forgettable. I guess that's what I'd say. That's
yeah, I mean, honestly, I think a lot of it's the brevity of the song. I'm sure we've talked over the full entire song.
Oh, for sure. No one's hearing anything anymore. Yeah.
So, yeah.
I could loop it three times.
If you like what you hear or heard, I would suggest listening to more, because I listened to one or two other songs. They didn't quite sound exactly like that. So you may find more to whet your whistle.
By the way, that's true for any of these bands, obviously.
Yeah,
This is but one song playing in the background. I'm not going to add in extra songs. So there's constantly music. I'm not doing that shit, but you can do that.
All right, let's move on. The next band is Agriculture. The song is called Look Part One. Let's see, I put screamo core, not really grind, but a spazzy metal sound. I guess this is black metal. I didn't realize that's exactly
what black
metal was. With shrieky vocals and blast beats. The music has that sort of like heroic kind of metal vibe to it. Like
video game?
Yeah, Dragon Force stuff. It's not played like that, but it has that same kind of epic sound to it.
It's not that technical, but yes, I
understand. No. There was like a saxophone in the middle of the song or something.
That it had a weird
like,
break.
I was like, I thought that was the end of the song, and I was like, what just happened? That kind of threw me off. I thought the vocals are kind of annoying just because there's not a lot of dynamics in them. They just sounds like the same kind of shriek.
Yeah.
The whole time.
You know, it's female vocals, right?
Which is ironic because I like a lot of bands that sort of have similar vocals, but I don't know, this one, not my favorite, but yeah, I thought it was pretty good. I mean, it's definitely something that I would consider listening to again.
Did you recognize that it was a female vocal?
I did not know it was a female vocal. So,
I had most of the same comments that you had. I put it was very formulaic, but I think too crazy. And to your point, not nearly as technical as something like Dragon Force or impressive with guitar.
But it
solo
still had that, like the dynamics of the music felt like it was like this epic journey kind of thing.
It did, but I think the one thing that it was missing is that there wasn't depth to the music. Like I didn't feel like. I hate to keep going back to Dragon Force. Dragon Force has a lot of layers, and I guess it's just better produced.
Yeah. There weren't
not super well
produced. I don't remember there being crazy solos or like super technical stuff. It sounded more kind of traditional metal, whatever that means.
Right. But in that same vein, because it's screamo, because it's female vocals, because it's super fast-paced, I assume you're familiar with this band. I put it for my FFO, which stands for fans of, I wrestled a bear once. You're familiar with that?
Not familiar.
That band?
No. Oh. I'll take your word for it.
I'll send you, after the show, I'll send you a video you must watch of I Wrestled a Bear once. It's just insane. But anyway, same vibe to that. So again, not surprisingly, because it was metal and fast, I thought this was in the upper half for this week's selections. But that's
my
opinion.
Yeah, I think so.
Okay. Carry on.
All right, next we have Bar Italia. The song is called Punked. So I put very mumbly, so I'm writing these reviews or notes as I listen to them. Very mumbly indie kind of vibe. First of what I will assume will be a very 90s revival again, because in the past few years we've had a lot of 90s-ish songs.
Yeah, for sure.
Although it hasn't really borne out yet in the first 10, I would say. Had jangly guitars, mumbled vocals, pretty straight ahead. But then, as the song went on, there was a second vocalist and then a third vocalist, and none of them sounded anything like... They actually sounded like they were produced different. Like they were singing in a different studio or something.
Maybe they were.
Liked adding the other some of the other vocals. I think I liked the middle one the best. I don't know.
Okay.
You can tell by their singing accents that they're not American, or at least they sound not American to me. They have heavier sort of accents.
They're from the UK.
It's not offensive. Not my favorite. I would say this is kind of middle of the road for me as far as like the music in these first 10.
Yeah, I put a Euro synth feel. And then my follow-up comment was it had a Casio.
It's not synthy.
It kind of is.
I guess it does have a keyboard in there.
Yeah, it definitely has a keyboard. But I listened to the drums first and then everything else second. It sounded like you could have programmed a Casio to do the majority of the music.
Yeah, for sure.
But you're right. The vocals were... I guess it caught my attention. I'm not going to say I liked it, but because of the variation, it was something that I picked up on. I was like, okay. But you're right. They were either using totally different mics or were in totally different rooms or countries or something. I don't know. Just a little... I don't know. Nothing unique, again. That's going to be recurring. It's always recurring.
Yeah. Yeah. We're
left me
often
wanting.
Disgruntled by the...
We are, typically.
The music.
Yes. Okay, next up.
Next up we have Blush. The song is called Crush. I put this was shoegaze, slowcore kind of stuff. It had kind of dreamy vocals, buzzsaw guitars. They literally sound like saws. No dynamics in that. I mean, just sounds like chords being strummed very quickly. Was not my favorite thing, but it did grow on me a little bit as I was listening to it. I'm not a fan of shoegaze music very much.
I actually am. Although shoegaze is a very wide brush that's painting there. There's some shoegaze.
To me, it has kind of an atmospheric sound and...
Sure.
More kind of down tempo, chill.
Yeah.
This band, I'm not saying shoegaze in general.
No, I understand. I think that applies. I put sludgy alternative rock. Also, the first comment I had is Blush. That can't be the first band with this name. And I don't mean like local bands. Like I feel like maybe I'm thinking I'm not thinking
Blush. Yeah, there
Blush.
Must be.
There's got to be another Blush.
Blush.
Anyway, but I put that it. Later, everything you said is correct. It kind of turned more fuzzy pop. Like by the end, it reminded me of the Breeders. I feel like.
Yeah, there is a part that sounds like the Breeders. I thought that too. Like it sounds like Divine Hammer.
Sure.
A little bit that song. I think it's just the melody.
The female vocals. And the, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm sure that's what it was. Yeah, this one grew on me.
I would say that would be a very positive comparison to...
Yes.
My maybe general comparison of this band.
Don't expect to hear the Breeders if you go and seek these songs out, but just for purposes of comparison, that band, the name of them. Okay, that's all I had. Now we get to the fun stuff.
Next we have Bobby Two Tacked. The song is called Who Told You?
Yes.
This
is when it turned for me.
So this song, for some reason, when I listened to it the first time, it like stopped 30 seconds in, but then it just stopped playing for like a minute and then started again right where it stopped. It's very weird. That was clearly on my computer, not a feature of the song.
Not what he expected or intended.
He had a good flow. The backing track to me was fucking obnoxious because it's like somebody else talking, not echoing the words he's saying. Like sometimes there's rap and like they'll repeat, you know, sort of hype up one word or something. That's a terrible way to describe it. You know what I'm talking about? Especially old school rap. But it was more like us having this conversation in the background of a rap. And it had like a beat, but there was like no music. I don't know. It's like that was very distracting to me and not appealing. Like I thought the flow of Bobby was pretty good. I'm assuming his name's Bobby, but I don't know. It's kind of a weird like instrumental track to pair with the rhymes.
So now that I'm reading the description from the stereo, I'm surprised to read that he's from Harlem. Although it does mention Afro beats, I was thinking he was like Jamaican or in fact African, and maybe he is because it talks about he calls himself the king of Afro drill. I don't know what that is. Drill is like drill.
I don't remember it being that fast.
I don't either, except really the only comment that I wrote is I feel like it's onomatopoeia rap. Like in the beginning, the first 30 seconds, he was like, splash, not splash, but he was just saying words that are sounds, you know, onomatopoeia. And that's what stuck out to me. It wasn't necessarily super... I didn't find his flow all that impressive or memorable. And apparently he's talking about a lot of political issues and things like that. I'm not a lyrics guy, so I didn't hear that. But
it gets better as it goes on. The beginning, I think it starts a little slow.
It does. It definitely has a slow start, and that's the worst thing you could do specifically when we're reviewing these songs, because I need something to hit me or I've automatically given up on it. I will say, to give myself credit, sorry, Bobby Tutak, but I'm going more general commentary here. For maybe the first time ever, I made it through all 10 songs. I didn't fast forward any of them. I was like, let me give it a shot. And on at least two of the songs, that was a very good thing. One we haven't gotten to yet, because there was a part that just completely changed my opinion of the song. But that wasn't the case for Bobby Tutak. I don't know. It was fine. There's always a handful of hip hop or rap artists on these top 40 artist lists from Stereo Gum, and I'm typically genuinely confused. I wish I could remember all the names from the past years. Some of them are just utterly insane and ridiculous, but I can't. Flo Milli is the one that Todd and I reference all the time, but there were plenty of others that were way worse.
Yeah, there were others that were worse. Flo Milli was definitely one of the better ones.
Yeah, Flo Milli at least had good production value. So anyway, that was Bobby Tupac. I'm eagerly anticipating your commentary on this next one.
All right, next we have Rump. Wait, no. Rump is the
Cash Cobain.
Cash Cobain and Chow Lee is featured on the song called Rump. I put filthy rap, lots of dirty talk. very minimal background beat and some synth vocals behind. The lyrics made me very uncomfortable.
Okay.
A lot of talking about that's me. Effing people's mouths and stuff. Or throats.
I'll get to it. All right, you kind of blew your load there. Cash Cobain, I put, at least in the beginning, it had like an ethereal feel. I was like, oh, okay, I'm in the room with Cash. I'm down with you, brother. Ethereal rap with auto-tune. There was definitely auto-tune. Very popular. And then all of a sudden, he started rapping. I was like, yo, this guy's got some adult themes here. I don't know if you heard it, but he made a James Harden reference, which I thought was brilliant.
Yes, I did hear that. I listened to the whole song, but okay, I was just like,
you did.
This is not my thing. This kind of thing makes me uncomfortable.
So, and you kind of hinted to it, but I'll say it because I'm not afraid to say it. A lot of throat fucking talk. He must have said, I'm fucking a bit like, I don't remember the exact lyrics, but he mentioned throat fucking at least a half dozen times. So he has taken the concept of bitches and money, which is what hip hop used to be 15, 20 years ago, and just made it way dirtier and over and hyper sexualized it.
I mean, I think there's been sexualization. No. Previously.
I'm not saying he's the one.
The specific act.
No. Don't get me wrong. He's not the one. I'm not saying he's the one or the only one. I think plenty of people have done it before him. In fact, he's not breaking any ground here with this song. But just think of those themes and then amp it up from like a 2 to a 10.
The thing about it though is like a lot of rappers like at least try to come up with a creative way to say it. He's not messing around at
correct.
All.
Correct. He spelled it out for you. Let me paint a picture for you. Here's my penis.
That picture made me uncomfortable. I did not care for that.
I could tell that it did just based on how you're reacting to this. So, yeah, again, nothing special. He's probably got a net worth of $8 million somehow because that's just how hip-hop works nowadays. He's probably got 3.4 million followers on Instagram. But
Cash Cobain does look like a larger fellow in the photo too.
Oh,
not the 395 of Biggie Smalls, but he's probably
he looks like now that I look at him, and he's also from New York. He looks like there's a football player. He looks like I can't think of the guy's name, but now yeah, this one says
like
he
a
has
football player. I mean, he's wearing Letterman jacket in the photo. So.
Yeah, that helps. He has a drill beats too. This talks about the drill stuff. Which is how he's worked with stars like Drake and Lil Yachty. So maybe he's got some legit... Maybe he's a producer who's like, let me put a track out. Let's see, what did I do last week? I did a lot of throat fucking. Let's talk about that for 6 minutes. That's Cash Cobain for you.
God.
Yeah.
All right, let's move on.
Please.
Next up we have... Chapel Roan. Yes,
I think
Chapel
that's
Roan.
Right. I don't know if it's Chapel or Chapel. C-H.
Red Wine Supernova. I put synth country. It was kind of country sounding vocals, but had a bunch of like weird pop elements with like sound effects coming in the background. This was also dirty, but in a different way. Like she talked a lot about sex and stuff, but not quite as explicit as the Mr. Cobain.
Mr. Cobain.
Cash Cobain. It wasn't the worst thing I've heard. Like, the song was pretty catchy. It was just weird. I have not heard a song sort of like this before.
So, I agree. So, my first comment, and my comments are almost always in order with how the song flows, it kind of had an 80s feel to it, like a throwback, some sort of throwback feel to it at first. And then about a minute and a half in, I was like, all right, this reminds me, not from the actual vocal stylings, but this reminds me of what could be an Olivia Rodrigo type song.
Yeah, it does have a little bit. I think they say that actually in the
do they really?
In the review.
I would really give myself props. I don't see
that. She hooked up with, not literally, but worked with Olivia Rodrigo's producer or something.
Oh, I do see that. Okay. And then they parted ways. Okay. I swear I did not read that. That's amazing that I picked up. So anyway, but then I said, like, after the Olivia Rodrigo part, I was like, all right, I'm a little confused. But then, and you kind of the song kind of grew on me. Like, by the end, I was like, all
yeah,
right, this is kind
it's
of
not
catchy.
Bad. I would listen to this song. Like, if this was on the radio, I'd listen to it and be like,
yeah,
I kind of like
turn
that song.
Up and rock out. So,
I mean, I think it has some explicit language that have to beeps and pants.
Well, there'd be a radio cut.
It's not a problem for the radio songs. My children singing a Lizzo song. Or not Lizzo. Well, Lizzo, yes. But there's the big energy. My daughters know all the words to that. Or the radio version of that.
The radio version, I hope. Yeah, so
I'm always like,
again,
I'm not really comfortable with them singing this. But
So, but again, if you
played 400 million times on it, so.
If you get the response from us that it's not bad, that's like an A plus. Like, that's as good as you can.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what
this
I give.
This is one of the better songs.
It's one of the better songs this 10th set. Okay, next up.
All right, next up we have Cusp with a song called Limited Edition. This would be the second of our 90s, or maybe the third 90s,
yeah.
Alt 90s vibe. This is also a little shoegazy, but it had more energy to it. But super, like, fuzzed out.
Yes.
Alt rock. I actually like this song, too. These two together, I think, would be an okay playlist.
A decent show. Yeah, I thought it was... I put more indie rock, but whatever, it doesn't make sense. It fit into a template of, to your point, like a 90s indie rock kind of song. It wasn't, especially after the prior two, there was no discussion of throat fucking or anything along those lines. So I think
if you like 90s Smashing Pumpkins, you might like this song.
Yeah, that's fair. That's a good comparison.
Not quite as aggressive as that, but
no. So yeah, it was good. It's one where here's what I'll say about it. I bet if I listen to this entire album, which I believe is called Spill, it's an EP.
It's called You Can Do It All.
Oh, that's their full.
According to this,
it said in 2021 they released an EP called Spill. All right, sure, their debut full length, You Can Do It All. Let's say there's 10 songs. I bet if I listen to all 10, I probably actually really like one. That's what I'll say about this. That's my seal of approval. Yeah. Okay. Two more.
Anything else? All right.
Nah.
Next up, we have Debbie Friday, and the song is called So Hard to Tell. I thought this was terrible. It says in the review that she was a DJ, and you can tell. I didn't get that. I did not care for this song at all.
Yeah, I honestly forgot what this sounded like. Because my note literally says, Debbie Friday, I have no clue, you go. Meaning you. Which tells me, and I just did this like 2 hours ago, so this should be fresh in my head. I have no recollection of what this song sounds like. And I don't care. So, as I read the description, I'm kind of remembering what the sound was. And it's interesting when it says, it says started out as DJ. Now, in fact, it says you can tell, I don't get. But I do kind of see that. I feel like there are a lot of people that start out in other facets of the music industry and try to go out on their own. But to go from a DJ to a performer or an individual artist, I feel like that oftentimes will not work out well, because if you're a DJ, you feel like you know everything about music and how music should link together and how it should work. Based on what I remember, what very little I remember of this song, not the case for old Debbie Friday. So, sorry, chick. Not working for me. Pass.
Yeah, as I read the description, I'm listening to it in my headphones now. It seems like something that I could like, and maybe I just didn't give it enough of a chance. I don't know. When I heard it, I was just like, it's not for me.
Pass.
I think if she were a better vocalist, it might work better with the music. Like, the music,
it's important.
I think seems like it could have some interesting stuff. Again, I've only listened to this one track, so maybe some of the other tracks are more interesting. But her singing is just kind of like cutesy talking.
Right.
Which didn't really do much for me. Yeah, I didn't like this one. This is probably my least favorite of all the tracks. Well, no, I'm going to give Cash Cobain my least favorite, but this is my second least favorite.
Oh, hard disagree. Cash Cobain at least was interesting.
No, did not care for that one. Just
the detailed sexplanation of different acts was the likes of which I'd never heard. Cool. So. Alright, last one. Local
Heroes. Oh yeah, from Denver. Destiny Bond. The song's called Chew. It's funny, they link their Bandcamp, and I went to their Bandcamp and the song Chew is not on that Bandcamp page. This is an album that's on Spotify but not on Bandcamp for some reason. Mm. They strike me. This is punk rock. Pretty straightforward, mid-tempo punk, but the vocalist is good. I like the the sound of it. I watched like a live clip of it and listened to another song. It was decent.
It's odd doing homework. I did no such thing. It's interesting. My notes originally were that this was mediocre rock, like kind of angsty, and it had this little bridge, or maybe it was the chorus of the song, that felt even not poppy, but closer to poppy. And then, and this is what I alluded to about 10 minutes ago, out of the blue, like two-thirds of the way through the song, it just kind of fell off a cliff, and it was straight-ahead punk. Like, faster beat, faster guitars.
Yeah, this song's a little slower than some of their other ones, and it feels a little more rock in the beginning, but...
That makes sense. But I was like, oh, so I guess they have the capability to do that. I don't know why the rest of the song doesn't represent that. And then, now again, for the first time, I'm reading the description here on Stereogum, and they're talking about how they're, it says they're probably the best hardcore, but they're not a hardcore. Slow down. Pump the brakes.
Yeah, I would.
Best hardcore
I
band named
as hardcore.
Named after a Pokemon move. I don't know if that means.
I think it's move. I think Destiny Bond is something you can do in Pokemon. I don't know. I'm clearly not a Pokemon person. But
fair enough. Yeah, it says...
You can bring Ricky into this one also.
Yeah. But it says their debut album, not EP, is under 20 minutes. So only a punk band or whatever. So, yeah, maybe... Based on what you're saying, maybe I should go back and find some video and watch. Check it out. I will say the picture on their Stereogum profile, it's a five-piece, two members are female. The guy on the far left looks like he's just a square of a human being, like his body shape. I don't know, he looks like Uncle Fester
or
something.
That's the bassist, I believe.
It typically is.
On the right are the two guitarists and the drummers in the back.
The dude with attitude, black shirt.
Yes.
What's up, players? That's what he's saying. And then I assume that the girl kind of kneeling is the vocalist.
Yes.
Yeah, okay. So, yeah. Again, if not for that punk rock piece, I would have given this a much lower score, but I thought it was okay. Not bad even.
You gonna check them out in your local scene?
No. Unless they happen to open for a band that I am seeing, which I guess is possible if they're punk rock. But we'll have to wait and see. I don't go to many shows, as you know.
Yeah.
That Braid show was my first one in a while, and until this coming July, I don't know of any shows that I will be seeing. Although there are several shows I'd like to see that I've just heard of, but
what's that? What's coming in July?
July is NOFX on their apparently 3 year long It's Our Last Tour.
So I went to see Botch this week.
I saw that in your Instagram.
Reunion tour.
Yeah, how was that?
And at the place, it was awesome. They had a flyer up and I guess Bad Religion played in that same venue earlier, and I was like, oh, I didn't know that. Just because I've never seen them live, but Botch was great. I saw them a bunch of times when I lived in Seattle.
Oh.
So I feel like, I mean, a lot of people didn't see them because if you didn't live in Seattle in the late 90s, early 2000s, they played some shows around, but they were one of those bands that got way more famous after they broke up, I feel like, than while they were around. And there was a lot of, you know, people that became fans or maybe liked the music when they were like 13 or something and weren't able to go to a DIY show that they didn't know existed.
It happens.
But yeah, it was good.
Wait, so you've never seen Bad Religion?
No. I've never seen a lot of those pop punk bands.
That's interesting.
I've never seen NOFX or Propagandhi, any of those bands live.
I've seen all three of those live.
I would like to see those three probably, although I feel at this point NOFX and Bad Religion have so many albums that I've never listened to, I might not enjoy it that much.
You know, that that concerns me. It doesn't concern me. I have 9 months, but
I've listened to most of the Propaganda albums, so I feel more comfortable with their oeuvre.
Yeah, no, for sure. But I've thought about that with this upcoming NoFX show. Now, again, I have 9 months. I can listen to them all 10 times between now and then if I want to. But I really do, as I think a lot of people my age or older, I really do kind of steer towards, you know, the albums that came out literally in the late 80s and early 90s. And so much of the stuff since then, I've either heard once or never heard. And I feel like even if I do listen to it 8 or 10 times, I'll still be like, can you guys play something from SNL?
It's not
going to
hit the same.
Yeah, it's because there's no memory to it. It'll just be something I listen to in my mid-40s before I go and worry about back pain during probably a 90-minute show, you know. But yeah, that's... I don't know where I was going with that. But when I saw them, it was at Warped Tour back in 2000. And that was, like, perfect because I knew everything. There was nothing...
I mean, they've, according to Wikipedia, they've released, like, 9 albums that I've never heard.
Yeah, exactly.
Because the last album I've listened to, I think, is Heavy Petting Zoo. I don't even know if I've listened to that whole... I have it on vinyl because I got it from the record station.
You probably have.
But Punk then, and Drublick was definitely the last one I really listened to.
Yeah, that was arguably their biggest one, too, in terms of sales. Bad Religion, I can't remember when I saw Bad Religion, but it was also a long time ago. And then Propaganda I saw on what I believe was their first U.S. tour, maybe their second. They rarely came into the States. They're a Canadian band, if you don't know. But this one's memorable to me because I was in college. They were playing at the Masquerade in Atlanta, which is about a 2-hour drive from Clemson. And it was in May, and I had a final the next day. And I was like, fuck it, I don't care. I don't know if they're ever going to come back to the States again. I've got to go see him. And so I drove down the Masquerade. I know everyone wants to know, did you pass the final? I don't remember. I don't remember what final it was. It doesn't matter.
You must have passed.
I must have, because that would have been a...
It looks like Bad Religion's released about 9 albums that I've never listened to as well.
Yeah, I mean... Gray Race
was definitely the last album I listened to, and I didn't like it very much.
It wasn't nearly as good, because that was on Atlantic. What was one? Process of Belief? Was that like 03? 02?
02.
Like,
yeah, I've never listened to that one.
That's the last one I think I owned. That one was good. That was kind of a... They were kind of getting back to their roots, but they put out a bunch since then, and I've listened to it. When I got a couple years ago, I got, I think Jamie, or maybe it was Adam, got me the Bad Religion, like, book, biography book or whatever, and I was reading it. And really, if you're reading a book about a band, it makes you want to listen to the band.
Yeah.
It's your next opportunity. And so I went and I listened to their entire catalog as of 18 months, 2 years ago. And it's all good. It's just, I don't know, a band like that that's literally been around my entire life, in the case of Bad Religion, if you stay with one genre of music, which you kind of hope a band that you listen to and enjoy will do, it just kind of gets repetitive. Like, you get to a point where it's like, yeah, that song sounds exactly like that other song.
They have a pretty formulaic approach. There's the oohs and ahs. There's the chorus. There's the fast part. There's the breakdown. Like,
yeah.
Do they really need to have 20 albums of that? Probably not.
No. No, they don't, but that allows them to keep touring and doing what they love, and it's great. It's just, I don't know, it's hard to keep it fresh, I guess, is what I'm trying to say. So, but I wish them well.
Yeah, because
if they ever come here, I'll see them.
They definitely have fans that their first album was Empire Strikes First or whatever, or Process of Belief.
Yeah,
and
of course.
Those people now are old because those albums came out in 2002 and 2004, so... If you were a teenager then, you're in your 30s now. So,
well, that's the crazy thing about going to, I would imagine, going to shows like that is you'll have, at a Bad Religion show, you'll have teenagers and you'll have guys in their 50s and 60s and everything in between.
Probably not too many in their 60s, but yeah.
Well, I mean, Graffin, the band members themselves.
Yeah,
are
I mean, there definitely
so.
Could be some. I'm just saying, I don't know how many 60-year-olds are checking out the Bad Religion show. Maybe there are.
Enough.
Some.
Enough. Yeah. It doesn't matter. Anyway, so. All right, so that's round one of the Stereo Gum Top 40. Again, we'll do round two maybe next week. We need to figure out when we're going to record next week because it's the Thanksgiving holiday. Although I think you're just on the day, you're doing some traveling and traveling back that same day. So we could probably do it Wednesday night, but whatever, we'll figure it out. So yeah, stick around for the next 30 songs. I'm going to continue doing what I did this time and not reading. I think that was a much better
way
to do
it. Yeah, I didn't really. I sort of like peeked out of it occasionally or mostly read after to be like, what is this? Like in the case
but again,
of
Debbie or whatever.
Debbie Friday.
But again, I've just never done it that way for whatever reason, but I think I will. I think that makes sense.
Well, because before we would listen to the clips from
the
website.
Oh, that's why.
Because
it was on the thing.
Stop doing that, so it makes it harder to.
You're right.
You have to have two windows open, or whatever, your browser and your.
Two windows open. Get some circulation.
Two tabs.
Some air circulation. I know.
Two tabs.
Or windows. You could have two open.
Greg Graffin is 59.
Yeah.
Just turned 59.
Good for him. I figured he was right at that number. So you and him are about the same age.
Yeah.
Shots fired.
We're same sign.
Shots fired. Does he have a Mabor thing?
No, he doesn't have a Mabor. I was joking.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
His birthday was, what's today? 10
it's
days ago.
16th. Oh. Happy belated, Greg. Wacho. Okay. Anything else you need to talk about here today, Todd?
I don't think so.
No more than 30 seconds on this topic, but I don't think I've mentioned it yet. Do you find, maybe we did talk about it last week briefly, but do you find the arena floors for this NBA in-season tournament hideous
fucking
and
insane.
Distracting? I thought it was
yes,
a joke. I saw the Bucks
part.
Floor. It was the first one I saw, and I was like, what the fuck is that? It was like bright green.
It gets worse, man. Some of those red ones.
I don't get it. Who approved that? It's horrendous.
I mean, they did it so that you could easily see that it's an in-season tournament game.
Yeah, just put it on the bottom of the screen. Like, don't fuck up the entire... Like, again, I don't know who the Bucks were playing. This is when I was at the casino a couple weeks ago, and I just kind of glanced over the screen. They were showing highlights. I was like, what the fuck is that? I literally thought it was a mistake with the TV because it was neon green, and it's a, like, 12-foot streak just right down the middle of the floor.
Oh, no, you're
terrible.
Talking about, I think you're talking about the Mavs court.
Was it the Mavs? I don't remember.
It doesn't matter.
It's
kind of purpley on the outside and neon green
they're
in the middle.
All
apparently Luka
ugly,
complained
though.
About it.
He and that's the thing. Is it not distracting for the players too? Bright
maybe
colors
it's
like
the Pelicans
that?
Court actually now that I'm looking at it.
The Pelicans I've seen as well. That one's hideous too. Anyway, I had to mention that because
it's really weird because it's crazy how much that changes how the court looks. And like, you know, the Nets have had that sort of gray court and it always looks like a video game whenever they're playing on it.
Yes, it does. Correct.
But it's crazy how much that really affects how it doesn't really look real. Like it looks like they're playing like in a video game or something. Like,
yeah.
Because you're expecting that hardwood or whatever.
Right.
And then you see it and you're like, what the fuck is going on?
You're like, that's not real. That's fake, to your point. Yeah, it's bizarre. It's an odd choice by the NBA. I don't know why they're doing that. But anyway, I'm sure we'll talk more about that in the coming weeks as the in-season tournament becomes the real quarterfinals, semifinals, finals, whatever, that are going to be played here in just a couple of weeks. Early
the Bulls one is wild. It's like all red. I mean, the Blazers is mostly red, but theirs is like totally red with the lane as a slightly darker red. I heard somebody was calling it the Red Rum Court.
Nice.
Makes
it just
sense. Looks like
a
blood
the hallway of blood.
Ground. Yeah.
It's not inaccurate. So anyway, all right. We'll chat more about that in the coming weeks as we will also be doing more Stereo Gum stuff. Again, likely drop it. Don't tell mom the babysitter's dead. Rewatchables pod in here between now and the end of the year, and then we'll have our Christmas show. We got a lot in store here. Only 6 weeks left in 2023, and it's a bunch of shit here on the Bro Pod, and I mean that in a good way. So stick around for that. Certainly, we appreciate your listenership. Like, subscribe, thumbs up, tell a friend, comment, share, do whatever you can do on your podcast app. But most importantly, let's just share it. Tell somebody. Get somebody else to listen. Did you enjoy listening to the podcast? If you made it this far, you clearly did. So tell somebody else. That's what helps.
Sickos.
Grow the show. Yeah, sickos. And maybe before 2026, Todd will actually upload some of these videos. What a novel concept. Maybe. Get some heat.
You never know.
Hey. On the YouTube channel. No, I'm pretty confident. But maybe I'll prove me wrong. I've been wrong before that one time. Anyway, so we thank you for listening. I was going to say Happy Thanksgiving, but we'll almost certainly you'll hear us again before Thanksgiving. At least we'll record before Thanksgiving. I don't know if you'll hear it. So if you don't hear it, Happy Thanksgiving. But if you do, then you're listening to the next episode. So, yeah, whatever. Okay. Thank you all, as always, for listening. And until next week, everybody.
See you.